Get out there and tell somebody about Jesus.
How's everybody doing today?
Come on, somebody. Nothing's sticking anymore. Well, can't work in my office today. It's flooded.
Man, there is just a good vibe happening today.
We're ready. We're rolling.
Welcome to Podcast 82.
82.
And I'm proud to look into a camera.
That's right.
This is strange.
It's really strange.
And for the first time in a long time, we're back to taping these.
Yes. Which means, Pastor Luke, that we're back on YouTube.
Yes. Tell the audience where they can watch the podcast.
So you guys can watch the podcast on our Ignited YouTube page.
Do you know the name of it? Is it Ignited Official, Ignited Student Ministries?
I think it's Ignited Student Ministries.
Look it up on your phone.
Let me pull it up.
All right. So yeah.
While I can't remember the name of our own YouTube page.
That's okay. We're gonna post this now to all your favorite streaming platforms as well as our Ignited YouTube page. Pastor Aaron's currently right now searching on his phone for the exact name of Ignite's YouTube page. I know what's funny, Pastor Aaron?
What's that?
There's been a couple different Ignited YouTube pages over the years.
Yeah.
So I don't know why.
I don't know why either.
Do you see the one where we used to post them to? Can you see our old podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's the one. What's the name of this one?
It's just called Ignited.
Nice. You want to show it to the camera?
Just I don't know if y'all can see that.
Can you see that, y'all?
The camera can't zoom in at all. It's just a fixed camera. I'm breaking down the fourth wall here.
But you're breaking down the fourth wall?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Where you're letting the audience in on how everything is made.
Oh.
That like there's no camera guy behind the camera.
There is no camera guy behind the camera.
We just set up a camera, hit play, walked over here, hit play on the audio recording.
I don't think people understand what it took to set up a recording studio in here. Video recording studio.
Yeah. It took a lot of effort.
We actually
wanted to do this.
Yeah,
like 2 weeks ago we wanted to do this, but it took us 2 weeks to get this room ready.
Yeah.
For video.
Right now it looks great.
It looks awesome.
Look at this coffee table and nice chairs and
coasters.
Coasters?
Stack of books. Little backdrop. Hopefully, as we're describing this, all of our listeners are wanting to go to YouTube now just to see what the setup looks like.
Yeah. So it took a while to get here, but we're getting here. One of the ways that we wanted to set this up to be able to record was we don't have a cameraman.
No, we don't have a camera.
So we had to figure out what camera we wanted to use without somebody being there. So it had to be a simple camera, but also we wanted high quality. Anyway, yeah. I think we figured it all out. We're coming in. And before we hopped on, Pastor Aaron, you're hot.
Yeah, coming hot today.
I don't know what you're hot about.
This is something that happened to my wife yesterday, and it made me maybe more upset than it made her. I'm not sure if that's true or not.
Yeah.
But I was very upset about it. So we had Ignited last night. We're recording on a Thursday, so we had church last night.
Yep.
It was awesome. Powerful night of worship at Ignited. And I have to get to church super early because I drive a bus. So, and Dana was on a Zoom call meeting. So she drove separate, came to church a little bit later than I did. And she was getting ready to leave. And she said, I really want ice cream.
Mm.
I think on the way home, I'm going to stop at Dairy Queen.
Oh, I love Dairy Queen.
I do too.
It's one of my.
She said, do you want me
it's
to.
It's one of my favorites.
Do you want something from Dairy Queen? And I said, yeah, absolutely. I want a small blizzard. She said, okay.
What's your go-to blizzard?
Either just the regular, like they have a peanut butter cup blizzard, which I like.
Chocolate or vanilla ice cream?
Vanilla.
Okay.
And then they also have a banana split blizzard.
Mm-hmm.
That's also very good.
Oh, that's delicious. That's my go-to.
Okay.
The banana split blizzard with chocolate ice cream.
I've never had it with chocolate ice cream.
Oh.
That's obviously well, vanilla.
Next time.
Next time I'll have to get it with chocolate. That sounds really good.
So good.
And so she's like, I'm just going to make sure that they're still open. And so she pulled them up. It's like 2 minutes from our house, Dairy Queen is, which is terrible.
That, our very first apartment, there was a Dairy Queen across the street.
Yeah. I think this Dairy Queen is literally 3 minutes like driving down the road.
That's close and that's dangerous.
So she looks it up and they close at 10 and it's like 9:30. She's like, oh, perfect.
Yeah.
So she goes to Dairy Queen and then I was like locking up at the church and getting all the students out and I'm getting in my truck to leave and it's not even 10 o'clock yet. She texts me and said Dairy Queen was closed.
Oh, no, they closed early.
And I was like, what?
They did you dirty.
She said the sign says 10 o'clock. Like the sign on the building says open till 10. It's nine. It was like 9:49 and they were closed.
No.
And she was so upset.
Yeah.
Because, you know, you have your mind set on this blizzard from Dairy Queen.
They're not allowed to do that.
And their hours posted online and on the side of the building say 10 o'clock and you show up with 11 minutes to spare.
They're not allowed to close early.
And they just, I felt like just someone just straight up lied to my face.
They either closed the doors early because it was so slow and nobody wanted to work. They were like, who cares?
Yeah.
Everywhere it's the hours are posted is wrong.
I think they just closed up shop because I've been there like late at night before. Actually, one time this was like a few months ago. I was like really hungry late at night. Went to Wendy's, which is also like 5 minutes down the road from my house. And I wanted a Frosty. The Frosty machine was out of order. So I said, I'll just go to Dairy Queen and get some. Because then I was like, now I need ice cream.
Yeah.
So I shot to Dairy Queen and that was like, I don't know what time it was, but it was pretty late. Definitely past 9 o'clock.
Yeah.
But last night.
No, that's rough.
No ice cream.
So
from Dairy Queen.
Have you ever called up a restaurant to order food and they tell you, oh, we don't have that we don't have that anymore. Like, we're out.
Yeah.
Okay. Very frustrating, right?
Oh yeah.
You're like, I mean, like seriously, like we're talking sometimes like. Chicken places are out of chicken. And you're like, that's all you do. What's wrong with you guys? So very frustrating.
Yeah.
Makes people real angry. So all through high school, I worked at a pizza place in Fenton. And I guess, I don't know if this is true of every pizza place or whatever the restaurants do, yeah. But we essentially every morning made food.
Okay. Like made the dough and everything like that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Made the dough, you know, made like, let's just say it's a Friday, which is like the busiest day.
Yeah.
Like, let's just, you make 100 medium pizzas.
Yeah.
Just the dough. Then like 75 larges, 60 smalls, and then bread for the sandwiches. All right.
Yep.
As far as the toppings go, that was like unlimited. You didn't need to like make, that wasn't needed to be fresh. Like you didn't need fresh pepperonis every day. It's like they lasted a week in the fridge, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, but we'd make those like bread bases fresh every day and you had to guess.
Right, right.
But they were the boss, whoever was in charge, figuring out like he knew over the years, this is how many pieces we saw on Friday and Saturday and Sunday and Monday and Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday. And like, you know, he knew how many pieces we sold. But every now and then we'd be much busier than expected.
Okay.
And who knows why? It's strange, right? All of a sudden you'd be like half an hour from closing.
Yeah.
And somebody would make an announcement inside the kitchen, out of pizzas. And you're like, as a worker, you're like, no. No, because now my job has turned from making pizzas to customer service.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I'm not trained on customer service.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody
yeah.
taught me how to answer the phone and deal with an angry person who wants a pizza and I don't have it.
Right.
It's the restaurant is called Mancino's Pizzas and Grinders, and somebody called me, like, take a medium pepperoni pizza, please. We're out of pizza. What? Yeah, we don't have any more pizzas. What are you talking about? You guys are a pizza place. yeah, I know where a pizza place is. And I'll be honest with you, I've been in your shoes before, man. I've called up to order food and they were out and I couldn't figure out how in the world is this possible. You're a pizza place, but we're out. We don't have any. Just make some. Well, you don't understand, bread and yeast have to, you know.
Yeah, they got to rise for like hours.
Yeah, yes, thank you. And the pizzas were made at like 7 a.m. to 8 a.m. We opened at 11 a.m. By 11 a.m., your dough's ready.
Right.
But by like 9 p.m., it's like really good, right?
Yeah.
So, I can't make you a pizza that you don't understand how yeast works.
Right.
Like, you can't explain this to people on a phone, like you gotta let the yeast and everything work, and you know. So, I'm sorry, I can't do it. Rage.
Oh, I'm sure.
Anger.
I'm sure.
And I'm just a 15-year-old kid, like, and I'm showing my age by holding the phone like this.
Yeah.
How do you? When yeah, I tell I do you this, you do this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Some people do that.
Yeah, I've seen people do that, and I'm like, it's weird.
Yeah, that makes sense to like. A generation, I can see that, but
yeah.
I'm like this.
Yeah,
so, you know, because it's literally, you know, a dial-up phone, so I'm like, you know, I'm so sorry, you know, try tomorrow. I'm never eating here again. Okay, I'm so sorry, you know, and there's anger, man.
Oh, yeah, there's anger. I mean, I was coming in hot today because Dairy Queen decided to close up.
If you've got a sweet tooth, yeah. You can't get that sweet tooth satisfied.
It's so frustrating.
It's like a sneeze that never comes. It's like a scratch, an itch you can't scratch.
Yeah. And you know what was frustrating too? Dana was like, there was not a light on in the building.
She could tell when she pulled around the corner. Oh, yeah. No.
She's like, it wasn't like they were like closing.
Yeah.
A few minutes. She's like, they'd been closed.
Something's up.
I was like, what in the world?
Yeah.
Now, the other two weeks ago, after Wednesday, I don't know. Usually I'd like, after church, I just like go home and relax for a little bit right before I go to bed. But for some reason, the past couple of weeks on Wednesday, we've decided to do stuff after church.
Okay.
So I think it was 2 weeks ago, I was talking with some students and they were like, Pastor Aaron, have you tried this new fried chicken place in White Lake? And I had. I knew exactly which one they were talking about.
Really?
And I was like, yeah, that place is so good.
What is it?
It's called Nashville Detroit.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I haven't eaten there, but I saw that.
It's very good. It's like carry out only, so it's not a sit-down restaurant, but it's very, very good.
All right.
And so these a couple of brothers were talking to me, and shout out to the Armstrong brothers if you're listening.
Stretch Armstrong.
And
Armstrong brothers, that sounds like an awesome... I don't know. There's something there.
It's awesome. It sounds great.
The Armstrong brothers.
Yeah. And they were like, they're like, yeah, we tried to go earlier, but they don't open until 4. And we missed them because like they were in the area. I was like, oh, do you want to go right now? And it was 9:30 and they closed at 10. And they were like, let's do it.
Nice.
And so we got a small group of students and I called them up. I said, hey, it's 9:30. I know you guys closed at 10. Will you guys still do an order? And the guy said, yeah, absolutely. Just make sure you're here to pick it up before 10 because we lock up right at 10. And I was like, yes.
Yes.
Placed the whole order. Everything was great. Food was delicious. We ate in the parking lot. That's the kind of service that I want.
In the parking lot?
Yeah.
I like that. All right. You know, we do have a main topic today, believe it or not.
Yeah, it's food.
Food is, yeah, we're always hungry. We're always hungry.
Always hungry.
I think I was telling you the other day, I'm having a hard time getting full this week.
Yeah, literally, I think it was yesterday.
Yeah.
Literally yesterday told me that.
I'm always hungry. It's ridiculous. Anyway, we do want to talk about something. This is interesting. I was studying out the book of Esther the other week, and I saw something, and I realized that the king in the book of Esther, King Xerxes,
yeah,
he represents God.
Mm.
Part of the book of Esther, obviously, there. If you read the story, the Jewish people chosen by the Lord, they're saved.
Yeah.
A great story. But then I realized something when I'm reading this thing is that Xerxes represents God. And I noticed it when I read one scripture verse.
Okay.
Esther finally gets the courage to say, your second man in charge, Haman.
Yeah.
He hates the Jewish people so much that he convinced you to make a law that all the Jews are going to die.
Right.
And he hid some things from you, Xerxes.
Yeah.
He hid that it was about the Jews. He hid some things. And I am a Jew.
Yeah.
What could we do? What can we do? It's like a prayer. It feels like a prayer, right? It's like a question. Sometimes we ask God questions and they are prayers. Oh, Lord, why is this happening to me? Oh, Lord, why is this situation, you know, part of my life right now? Oh, Lord, help me. So, like, you see this from Queen Esther. And then there is this scripture verse. And how King Xerxes responds to Esther reveals something about God.
Yeah, absolutely.
And he says this, and I don't have the scripture pulled up right in front of me, but it's something like this. I cannot change the original law decree that I made for Haman because I signed it with my ring.
Yeah.
But I can make a brand new law that I will sign with my ring that usurps the original plan.
Yeah.
Boom. When I read that, that's exactly how God governs the world.
Yeah.
When people have questions, why would God create Lucifer?
Right.
Why would God create man only to have them fall into sin and ruin paradise?
Yeah.
Why would God create hell to send man?
Right.
These questions are answered through the character trait that Xerxes portrays when he says, I cannot change what I just did, but I can write something brand new. I can create something brand new to help the situation.
Yeah.
And so Xerxes makes a law that the Jews can fight back. And part of the law was that the people could not respond.
Right. Yeah. It's actually, I feel like growing up in Sunday school, like you read the story of Esther, you know, the teachers would teach the story of Esther, and it just kind of ended with, and the Jews were saved.
Yeah.
And then I think I remember reading it as a teenager, like reading that story, like the whole book of Esther on my own in the Bible. And I was like, this is like a bloody battle.
Oh, like, oh, the Jews are saved. The Jews kill a lot of people.
Like this book is like rated R. Like
the whole Bible's rated. Yeah, the whole Bible's rated R. To be quite honest with you.
Oh yeah,
it really is.
Absolutely. But yeah, I when you were talking, you said something that I think so many people who struggle with the God of the Bible have a difficult time understanding, that the character traits of God, they kind of govern how he rules and reigns. And we've talked about this before on this podcast.
Yeah, and I think it's so good, it should be said again.
Absolutely. And I think that because people will ask this question all the time. Well, if God is so loving, then why?
Yeah,
why? Fill in the blank. You can fill in the blank with whatever. And really, if someone is asking that type of question, and some people ask that question out of curiosity, like they're genuinely searching for an answer from God. They're looking to know God. But I think most of the time when people ask that question, Pastor Luke, they're upset about God.
They're
not really looking for a good answer. They're just wanting to argue.
Yeah, they're angry.
And really to understand the answer to that question or to be able to give a good answer, you have to understand the character traits of God.
Yeah.
You have to realize that God doesn't just do whatever he wants to do. God can't.
There's purpose.
There's purpose to everything that he does, and that God cannot go against his character.
Yeah.
Like God can never lie.
He can't destroy.
He can't destroy.
He can't kill.
Right. So when he created Lucifer, and then
he rebelled.
He rebelled.
Which shows, now listen to this, why it speaks to me the angels have free will.
Yeah. Yep.
So any person or angel in heaven worshiping God is choosing to do it because they want to.
Right.
Which shows how great God is.
Yes.
Okay.
Yep. Yep.
So if Lucifer rebels, It was because God gave him the gift of free will. Lucifer took advantage of that gift, just like we all do.
Yep, hello? Exactly. Just like we do.
Hello,
yep.
We take advantage of the gift of free will by sinning.
Yep.
And some people take advantage of it to the point of it's prison time.
Yeah.
Right. And they don't. They say, "Where's God? He's not here. I can get away with whatever I want." That's taking advantage of one of the gifts of God, which is exactly what Lucifer did.
Yeah. Proverbs literally says that there's people who will do evil and then just turn around and be like, "God doesn't know. Where's God?"
You're taking advantage of the gift God has given you, which is exactly what Lucifer did.
Yeah.
So what does God do then to solve the problem? He can't destroy Lucifer. It's not in his character to kill.
Right.
And Lucifer is going to live forever.
Yeah.
He'll never die. He's never going to die. So what can God do? What can God do? Just like Xerxes cannot eliminate the decree and law that he created,
right,
which was once life is created, it lives forever, which is part of God's laws.
Yep.
What can he do? What can Xerxes do? He can create something new. He's a creator.
Right. He can write a new law.
God's a creator.
God's a creator.
He's loving and kind.
That's exactly.
Merciful and gracious. What can he do? What can he do? He will create a barren wasteland to send him and one third of the angels.
Yeah.
He'll create, and then he'll put up a decree. Satan and the one third of the angels, there is now a wall up.
Right.
You're on this other side of this abyss that cannot be crossed.
Yep.
I'm creating walls. I'm creating abysses. I'm creating a land for you to live in.
Yep. Come on.
This is where you will go now. A new law has been written, and not even Satan can usurp it.
Yeah, exactly.
Which shows the powerful. Which shows that God is in control of everything.
Yeah.
Okay. And so, boom, he's now there. Then God creates man. Man sins.
Yeah.
God can't destroy man.
Right.
What can he do? Well, he now has to create a place for them to eternally go because the wages of sin
is
death, which is a law that God decreed.
Yeah.
So, but he can't kill. They have to live forever. So if they're going to pass on from this life, they just have to go somewhere else for the next life to live forever.
Yep.
If you're sinful, you go to – he sends you to the place where he sent Satan.
Right. Yep.
He never intentionally created for humans, but he has a problem on his hands because man did the same thing Lucifer did, took advantage of the gift of free will.
Yep.
And so now he sends him to the same place that the one-third of the fallen angels are at.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, the fallen angels are much stronger and much smarter than we are.
Yeah.
And they just torment us down there.
Yeah.
What else are they going to do?
Yeah.
That's part of what they do. But what do we go now for those who looked ahead to Jesus or believe in Jesus? You go to paradise.
Yeah.
There's a better place. He created.
Right.
He's a creator. And so Xerxes displays the character and personality of God in this story called – in this book of Esther.
Yeah.
And I thought it was powerful when I was reading it. I was like, oh, that's exactly what God does.
Yeah. That's exactly what God does. And I love that in the story of Esther, Xerxes does – give this, you know, he writes this new decree that allows the Jews to be able to save themselves. And God did the same thing when man sinned, when man, you know, gave up or abused our gift of free will, we sinned. God didn't just be like, well, they're all going to hell now with the devil. He gave us an option.
Yes.
When he wrote Jesus into the story, and he said, all right, I'm going to send my son and make a way for them to come back, to have communion back again with me, God the Father. And I think that's such a powerful parallel when we see when you can see it in the way that Xerxes governed as the king, and you can see the parallel to God the Father. It's awesome.
Yeah, you can see the parallel. And then I kept reading, you know, you go through your Bible, you know, it's, you know, Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, and then I hit Job.
Yeah.
And I'm reading in Job, and I'm seeing all this stuff with Job, and it's such a – Job is such a strange
book.
Yeah, such a strange book, you know, like how the devil approaches God and was like, hey, the only reason Job likes you is because you've blessed him so much.
Right.
And God's like, I'll test you on that.
Test him.
Bet. God literally said, bam.
Yeah. It just looked the devil square in the eyes and
was like, bet. And then God won the championship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like the Michigan Wolverines. And so devil's like, okay, you bet me, I'll do it. And so he goes down there and he just like, he just like, the devil kills.
Yeah.
Steals and destroys.
Yep.
All right.
That's his nature.
Yep. He goes, exactly what he does to Job's kids and his servants and his livestock and everything. And I love that Tim Hawkins joke.
I thought he left his wife alive.
Left his wife alive. The devil knew what he was doing.
That's such a good joke. It's such a preacher joke, but it's hilarious.
It's a good joke. It works well. Yeah, the devil left the wife alive because he knew how to torment Job. And so all this stuff, and boy, you start reading these prayers Job has to God. And wow, it certainly sounds to me that Job is angry.
Oh, yeah.
He's so depressed.
Yep.
He's questioning God so much. But here's the key. He never stops talking to God.
Yep.
That's the key.
Yep.
That's how you knew Job never turned his back on God.
Yep.
He kept complaining, but who was he complaining to? God.
Yeah.
Which shows that he still believed God was listening to him.
Yep.
And then at the end, God's like, see, I told you.
Yeah.
I told you, Satan, that he would not leave me. And he does not serve me because of blessings.
Yep.
Yeah. And then, of course, God is the creator. He just restores and restores and restores. I forget how much. Was it tenfold almost?
It was double.
It was just double?
Double everything that he had.
Kids doubled, livestock doubled, riches doubled. And because God's a creator, God's a giver of life. And it just shows the heart of the Father. It shows the character of God. And if anybody's out there right now, I'll look to the camera and say this one. I mean, if you're out there and it feels as if things just keep falling apart, I know you want to get angry at God, and that's okay. God's not scared of that.
Yeah.
Because Job got angry at God.
Yeah.
But don't stop talking to God.
Yeah.
That's big.
Yeah. It was so interesting that you were studying this out. And on Sunday, we had Ignited AM, and I was preaching to the teenagers. And literally, the title of my message to the teenagers was How to Ugly Pray. How to Ugly Pray. Because I was reading. It was interesting that you were reading about it. I was reading the book of Psalms, and I'm going through Psalms, and some of the Psalms, and I think we categorize most of the Psalms like this, but I don't think it's really true that some of the Psalms are these beautiful, incredible poems.
Yeah.
But a lot of them are prayers of people who are in really bad situations, just praying to God or praising God in the middle of a bad time.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was just reading these psalms after psalms, and I was in the section in where a lot of the psalms are written by David. Like one is like when he played mad before the Philistines, when he was on the run from his son Absalom, when he was on the run when the Zephites told Saul where he was hiding, when he's in the cave of Adullam, right? It kind of gives you these titles. And I know from studying the life of David, like, these are all terrible places to be in.
Yeah.
These were the lowest points of David's life. And he writes these psalms, and they're raw, and they're gritty, and they're full of, and they're like, they start out like, God, where are you?
Yeah.
And I preach this message called How to Ugly Pray, because you read those psalms, you're like, guys, God is not scared of us coming to him with our emotions and being like, God, what is going on?
The key is he wants us to come to him.
Exactly. When you come to, when you have those emotions and expressions and even sometimes anger, but you bring it to God, that's the best place there. And God is not like, oh, I don't know what to do. He's angry.
Oh, yeah.
What do I do? Job's complaining.
She's angry at me.
No, like, God's not freaked out by your emotions.
Yeah.
But he's so glad that you're bringing them to him and not something else, that you're still communicating with him.
The moment you just completely decide to just leave God out of the picture, you're not going to pray anymore. You're not going to go to church anymore. You're not going to read your Bible anymore.
Man.
You want God completely out of your life. That's when God starts to say, oh, he or she, they've left me.
Right.
If you're still talking to God, then you're not lost. You're not lost.
Nope.
Even if your conversations with God are angry conversations, God still desires, God wants to hear your voice.
Yeah.
And when you're angry, it doesn't intimidate him.
Yeah.
He loves the sound of your voice.
Right.
And he'll use any prayer for the good.
Yeah.
For good.
Come on.
That's really those are parts of my messages that I didn't get to preach on Sunday that I felt like I wanted to. I just ran out of time, and I was happy to be able to kind of talk them on the podcast.
That was awesome. I loved it.
What a great podience.
Great podience. It's great to have viewers again, not just listeners.
We're back to viewers and listeners. I just want to say thanks to all those listeners and viewers now.
Oh, yeah.
It's wonderful to have you. Oh, what a podience. This was a hearty bowl of pods.
Dude, this is a hearty bowl of podcast too.
Podcast. Yeah, this is a hearty bowl of podcast too.
Oh, yeah.
Chunks of beef.
Yeah, we got into some meaty stuff on this podcast.
That was good. That was good. Just so you know, we've been receiving questions for our next mailbag. So if you are out there and you got some questions about the Bible, please send them in. My email is lucas@ignited.org. It'll be also in the description. Pastor Aaron, go ahead and give him your email.
It's aaron@ignited.org.
Once a month, one of our podcasts is dedicated to our mailbag, answering questions about the Bible or just spiritual stuff that you might have. Not all the questions we get are about the Bible, but like they are spiritually based.
Yeah. And you know questions. What we can say now?
What?
You can also drop a question in the comment section.
Wow. Mind blown, bro.
Drop us a comment. Leave us a comment.
Yeah, seriously. leave a comment question in the comments.
There you go.
All right. Awesome. Oh, Brian, great to be with you, everybody.
See you guys.
Catch you on next one.
Bye.
Bye. Get out there and tell somebody about Jesus.
How's everybody doing today?
Come on, somebody.
Nothing's sticking anymore.
Well, can't work them off today. It's flooded.
Man, there is just a good vibe happening today.